I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering you a safe space if you're an independent thinker or aspire to be. Lots of different topics for today's show. I'll talk a little bit about this weekend, kind of follow up on my Friday show on 9/11. I got to tell you, I was not a happy camper watching Saturday morning news as they relived the memories and had the endless stream of people come across the media to comment on the 9/11 anniversary. It's really all I could do to, I don't eat breakfast, but had I might have had a problem holding on to it. So we'll talk about that. And then I got into a very interesting conversation on group text. Well, conversation, a couple of words were said, or nothing harsh. A couple of comments were just made in general on a text thing, and I realized, okay, I need to get out of this conversation when it comes to COVID and hospitalizations and stuff. And one of my friends, big on the vaccine, I'll explain why later, but he said, you know, they're rolling up these mobile morgues at the hospitals because so many people are dying. And so immediately, this is just on a group text with a bunch of people, I start doing my fact-checking and found some interesting things, really. Found some very interesting things when it comes to that narrative, so we'll cover that as well. Lots to get to today. Quotes of the day today. H.L. Mencken, the prolific quote generator, said the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed. COVID, 9/11, North Korea, Russia, Iran. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed. That's what they do. And now we're seeing exactly where this fear will lead us. It's just, it's quite unbelievable. You know, H.L. Mencken, I don't know when this quote was, but it was decades and decades and decades ago. I really wish we'd start learning from some of these people. I ran across a great, here's a great quote. I don't think I was aware of this one. This is a West Asian fable. And it is, the forest was shrinking, but the trees kept voting for the axe. For the axe was clever and convinced the trees that because his handle was wood, he was one of them. That certainly is appropriate. I wanted to do real quick on the financial front. I don't know if this is a stock market warning sign or not. I kind of vacillated back and forth on this when I first saw it. I did the story last week where one of the Fed governors, I think it was the Dallas Fed, had done 27 transactions, stock transactions in the past year, or it might have been 2020 calendar year. Yeah, it was 2020. 24 of those, I believe, were over $1 million each trade. This is the man in an organization that is setting the entire economic policy for the United States, driving the stock market. And he's trading on this stuff. Well, after I did that story, the story came out, Federal Reserve Regional Presidents Robert Kaplan and Eric Rosengren said Thursday they will sell individual stock holdings amid ethics concerns regarding trading in 2020. The Fed officials will sell all their stocks by September 30th, and here it comes, put the proceeds in passive investments, they said in statements released Thursday. So there's a few things about this that I think are worth pointing out. Number one, they didn't do this out of ethics concerns. They did this because they got caught. It was exposed. They didn't arbitrarily decide to divest themselves of these investments just out of the blue, thinking, you know what, it seems a little wrong that I have the power to move the stock markets and I'm trading on those markets. They didn't come out and say that. They would have said it years and years ago. No, they got caught or got exposed. It's not even caught. What they were doing wasn't illegal because the American people are too stupid to understand what happens when you give control of your entire economy to a central bank. Henry Ford said, and I've got another quote of the day here. Henry Ford said, "It is well enough that the people of the It is well enough that the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." So anyway, these Fed guys, these cretins, these masters of the universe, have sold all their stocks, but they put it into passive investments, which basically means they've just gone into ETFs. And so as long as they drive the stock market higher by flooding the markets with funny money, endless printed money, our children and grandchildren as the collateral, as long as they keep doing that, their stock and portfolios will still do well. So think about this. If they raise rates, they're going to lose a ton of money on these investments. Now, they may be able to just, I mean, they will. If they ever are forced to raise rates, they'll just pull their investments. They won't tell you they're doing that. They won't come out and say, you know, because of ethics concerns, we feel like we should let everybody know we're getting the hell out of this market because we're about to pull the plug on it. But they probably will. But if they were to raise rates, they would actually hurt their own investments. So the way that these guys are making their money, and again, this one guy, I believe it was Robert Kaplan from the Dallas Fed. He did 24 transactions, all over $1 million apiece. And so he has benefited by this rampant inflation. Just so you know, because what you like to do is you like to blame Joe Biden. It's great cocktail talk. It makes for some very funny memes. But you've got Fed heads there, these guys. The more inflation they create that raises your food prices, your gasoline prices, your home prices, your college prices, your clothing prices, the more inflation they create, the better for them. Because they don't care about fuel prices. They don't care about clothing prices. They don't care about housing prices. They own so many homes. Every time the housing prices go up, they do great. We have got people running this economy who benefit from the inflation that hurts the rest of us. Now, that's the kind of understanding of exactly how our economy is managed by the Federal Reserve. I know it's not fun to talk about. I mean, if the Federal Reserve was good to talk about, Sean Hannity, I'm sure he would cover it every night. Oh, no, Sean Hannity has probably never said the words Federal Reserve unless he was praising it. But that's where we are. It's really quite amazing when you realize the people that are setting policies, that are creating the inflation, that are hurting you today, tomorrow, for the last 30 years and for the 30 years coming up, the people that are setting the policies that are hurting you are benefiting from it. You want to talk about a conflict of interest? And that's going to get me into something else in just a second after we get done with this 9/11. There's something about, there was a lot yesterday about how we overcame the sickly sweet dripping victimhood of the 9/11 remembrances. This might not be a popular segment to do upcoming, but I'm going to do it anyway. Was really, really gross. But there was a lot yesterday about the fact that we overcame. We got knocked down, but we got back up and we rallied. It's this kind of what the media does. You know, sometimes life is not always great. You just move on. You have no choice but to do. But they make it like we're all some kind of heroes for overcoming 9/11. Of course, 9/11 wasn't what they told us it was in the first place. So it wasn't what we overcame. It's what we allowed to happen. But anyway, going to get into that. There's one thing about all of these things that we supposedly have to overcome that have a thread running through all of them that nobody seems to be paying attention to. I'll call it to your attention when we come back. Stay with me.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the
Hey, everybody. Quick little inserted message here. First, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show on podcast. I really appreciate your support of doing that. I know a lot of people have said they're sharing the podcast, and that means a lot to me as well. So thank you so much for that. I've had a lot of people ask how they can support the show. Most importantly, please support the advertisers on WYAB that make the show possible in the first place. And if you or somebody that you know wants to advertise, wants to market a business, please have them reach out to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com or call into the station. We are extremely dedicated to our advertisers. They get a great return on investment, and they make this station and this show possible. So please do that. For those of you who want to support the show directly, I've had requests for that. I've set up a site, a kind of a crowdfunding site that you can contribute whatever amount, doesn't matter, whatever you value, think the show brings to you. You can go to ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. And that's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow. I'd like to be able to expand access to some of the source material for the show so people can get the research that I do and share it with people. I get a lot of requests each day for clips or links of my source material. This might allow me to build a web page and start being able to share those things so I can direct people to those basically at any time. They don't even have to contact me. So any support that you give to the show will be used for things like that. Again, to donate, you can go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/TheMikeMadisonShow and just contribute whatever you think it's worth, whatever value it's brought, or continue to just listen to the show for free. I'm just thrilled to have you on board in the first place. So whether it's supporting our advertisers, becoming an advertiser yourself, or sharing this with somebody who might want to advertise on WYAB, or supporting the show directly, I thank you a lot. And last request, while I'm being kind of needy, if you like the show, if you would, take a minute to rate it on your podcast app and write a small review if you feel moved to do so, but a rating will certainly help. I'm not good with self-marketing and social media type stuff, as many of you know, but they say that will help in rankings and help the show reach more people. So if you can rate it or write a review and or both, it would be much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Back to it now. I have become obsessed with this West Asian fable that I read a minute ago. I'll read it again. It said, "The forest was shrinking, but the trees kept voting for the axe. For the axe was clever and convinced the trees that because his handle was wood, he was one of them." And so during the break, I was kind of looking up, because when you see something called a West Asian fable, you know it's not contemporary. It's got to be old. I did a quick search during the break, and I realized that, you know, fables like that, it's listing the 15th century, the 12th century. How is it that human beings have not caught on to this scam of, air quotes here in the studio, leadership? To the idea that the people that you vote for or the people over you, I mean, how is it that the people in Great Britain still cheer and just obsess over the royal family? Century after century after century. How do we not understand these people are in these things for themselves? But the thing is that everybody thinks their guy is the good one. I guess that's how they get you. It was kind of interesting. My disgust with the political class in this country has actually gotten worse, probably just over the past few months. Maybe it's Joe Biden that's kind of ratchet. It has gone to 11. I was already at 10. If you've listened to me for 4 years, you realize I have complete and utter contempt for our political class in this country. 97% of them. I'm going to say there's 3% of some pretty decent people that may really actually not want the power and are trying to help. That number may start off at 25%, but so many are so weak, it immediately goes down to 3%. But I was even watching the Manchurian Candidate, the Denzel version of the movie, the other day, and it was just the scenes of the main character who's becomes the vice president of the United States, just the scenes of him walking out of a car and crowds cheering for him just repulsed me, made my skin crawl. And this is just some drama that was made back in the 1990s. And I just cannot watch people cheer for politicians. I don't understand it. I no longer understand it. And I guess it's particularly after what we've seen after the last 16 months. how people can believe what has happened to the American, what has happened to Main Street. And yes, the Democrats are the worst on it. I am dying to see if they can recall Gavin Newsom in California. California would slide into the ocean guy, because I know there's a lot of good people in California, and California is a beautiful state. It's just there's enough horrible voters in California that are dragging a lot of the good people through the mud with them, with people like Gavin Newsom or Garcetti down in Los Angeles, who's just put out a citywide vaccine mandate for their students there. To see if the Democrats can possibly see through the light. Larry Elder, California, I will tell you, would be very interesting thing to watch. And I would imagine even those people who have been diehard Democrat voters might look around and go, wow, look, people are moving back here again. Our taxes are lower. I am really cheering for Larry Elder in California. But, I mean, it's been centuries we know we've been sold out by these politicians. And we continue to support them. It floors me. I want to read one more time one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's a Carl Sagan quote, out of all people. But I would imagine this is the eighth or ninth time I've probably read this on the show, because it just resonates with me so much. And it's going to lead into what I watched this weekend on the 9/11 anniversary. Carl Sagan wrote, "One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back." And this quote is so true. And it doesn't matter what the, because it's with everything. It's with COVID and it's with 9/11. I sat through and watched it, hate watched, I guess. I knew what I was in for when I turned it on, but I just had to see it. Do you ever hate watch anything? There may be some of you that hate listening to my show. Thanks. But I was hate watching, and I've tried to get this out of my life. I don't hate watch Hannity. I don't hate watch Rachel Maddow. I don't hate watch CNN. I used to, just to get outraged, and I realized, oh, you know what that's doing? It's really just damaging me. But I resorted into my hate watching, and so I watched, turned on NBC Saturday morning and watched the Today Show. They had Andrew Card, Bush's chief of staff. Sat with the panel, Savannah and Hoda and the rest of the hacks at the NBC Today Show, where he just recounted and talked about the tragedy of that day. Andrew Card, famous for going up to George Bush during story hour and told him, supposedly, we're under attack. I suspect if you could have had a mic on that moment, it would have been something like, it's going down now. George Bush continued to read the story. Pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Then I believe he stayed at the school for a little while, met some of the teachers. He didn't seem real concerned at first until he was whisked away into a military facility. But Andrew Card knows what really happened on 9/11. He knows that the official 9/11 story that was memorialized all day on Saturday, and really for all of last week, he knows that that story is an abject lie. And yet he sat there, he has the gall, the stones to sit there and solemnly recount the moments. And he acknowledges the heroes, many of which his administration, I believe, participated in killing those heroes, those first responders, those firemen. And some of the worst people on planet Earth were the ones leading these remembrances. Kamala Harris gave a speech. We saw Joe Biden with the Bushes and the Obamas, all war criminals, every single one of them war criminals, that know that the official story of 9/11 is a complete load of bunk. And yet they bow their heads and they talk about the heroes and the sacrifice. And it was hard for me to take. Now, many of you out there may think that anyone who questions, who would dare to suspect that our government could have been involved or that they've lied to us about exactly what happened on 9/11. You think I'm crazy. You think this was just a day of memorial because 19 guys swung by the hardware store, picked up some box cutters, and subverted the greatest national security apparatus that has ever existed. So you may think this is insane, but I'll tell you, I watched that. The media, people in the media know that the story was bunk. It was just a bunch of pablum wrapping people in the flag, taking them out there, giving solemn speeches, knowing darn good and well what they're really doing is lying to you and hiding something from you to accomplish their goals. And it was just disgusting to watch every single one of them go out there. We also heard that George Bush, and I don't know if I've got the clip here or not. I don't know if I even care. George Bush went after domestic terrorism at his thing. How many of us feel such intense shame for the fact that we supported George Bush? Now, a lot of you, it's because you were Trump supporters and Bush didn't like Trump, and Trump and Jeb Bush got into it, and so that's what woke you up to the Bushes. But the Bushes are decades and decades of criminals. I mean, hardcore, corrupt war criminals. And I had a Bush-Cheney sticker on my car. I apologize to anybody who might have seen it. But George Bush went on to talk about, to try to draw attention to domestic terrorism now. And the tone was, the supposition was that it was the white Trump supporter, domestic terrorist, anti-vaxxers, you know, the same domestic terrorists that the FBI is looking into. And, you know, what was really strange about it as I was watching George Bush, I remember, you know, everybody knows where they were on 9/11 if you were an adult. And I remember where I was. I was getting ready for work. I was a financial advisor at the time, and I was getting my suit and tie on, trying so hard to be a yuppie. And I was getting ready, and my nanny was showing up. And I think my wife at the time had already gone to work, so the nanny shows up. And we're watching television, and I'm in shock like anybody else. This is early in the morning, so we're just watching smoke go from these things. And my nanny came in. She was a young, very sweet black girl. And she said, "Look what George W. Bush has done now." Now, the reason she was saying it was because she was a Democrat, and so she hated George Bush, and she just assumed this was a Bush screw-up. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, oh, you silly girl. Of course, you don't say anything rude to somebody who's about to take care of your children for the rest of the day. Much like I would advise people, try not to be so rude to your waiters. I've been in the restaurant business. You should be a little nicer to your food servers that are bringing food from somewhere that you don't see. But I don't be rude, you know. But I just remember thinking inside my head, oh my gosh, I can't believe this poor girl believes that George W. Bush, that he's somehow responsible for this. What a stupid little girl. That's what I thought at the time. Little did I know, she was so right. She was more right than she even knew. Because I do believe that George W. Bush, anyway, the entire day was just sickly sweet, pandering victimhood. We shall overcome. How we all rallied together. And when you stop and think, if you look at it through my lens, and maybe you don't, I know there's a lot of people who just do not believe. I mean, the government will do some bad things. They'll strip you of a third of your income. They'll experiment on the black community. They'll invade countries for no reason and level them. We know there's all this corruption all over the place, but Mike, I just can't sit here and let you tell me that our government would somehow participate in a false flag event. I laid it out on Friday. There's plenty of precedent for it, but cling to your hope. Maybe all that's getting you through the day, but all of this we overcame stuff just really got to me, but it did make me stop and think about all of the things we have had to overcome here in the United States. And I'm going to give you a list of them, and then I'm going to point out the very obvious thread that runs through all of them. I think it's something we would all be well to consider. Be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you love me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I can't stand infantilization. I rage about this pretty often, and it's one of the things that my biggest frustration with people, particularly who vote Democrat, but really all voters. I don't understand a man who votes for Democrats because I believe the Democrats treat their constituents like they're infants. I looked up the definition during the break here. Infantilization is a behavioral pattern in which a person of authority interacts with, responds to, or treats a person as if he or she were a child. And that's really what politicians do, particularly on the Democrats. A self-respecting, fully capable women, I kind of understand it. You know, women kind of want to be taken care of, a lot of them. I'm sure that's an overgeneralization that could get me in trouble. But I would think, as a species, the women have typically been more nurturing, and so they need somebody to protect them while they raise their offspring. I'm always trying to really look at us as just kind of mammals. But for a fully functioning human male, I cannot understand why in the world you would vote for a Democrat who tells you they're going to take care of everything for you. That's very bizarre to me. So I can't stand infantilization. And that's what I see when I see these, like these 9/11 things. There was so much about, oh, we had to overcome. Oh, poor us. How did we ever make it through there? It defined the American spirit that we rose up and rebuilt again after 9/11. It's life. Things happen. You move on. What were we just going to, would other countries have just fallen into a puddle of tears for decades and decades and decades and then ceased to be a nation? The indomitable American spirit. No, we moved on. Yeah, it was a horrible day. I believe it was perpetuated by our own government and other forces not named. But we moved on. But it was this endless thing of we overcame. People overcome real things. We've all overcome things. Death of a relative, car accidents, job disruptions. There's all kinds of things people have to overcome each and every day. It's part of life. But I started thinking about the things we've had to, as a nation, overcome. And I'm going to give you a list of them, and then I'm going to point out what I believe to be a common thread through all of these things. And I'm going to go back about 100 years. So we had the Great Depression. That was a really hard time for a lot of people, right? We had the Great Depression. We had the Kennedy assassination, a sitting president murdered in broad daylight in front of everybody. We overcame. Vietnam, we lost about 58,000 of our troops. Hundreds of thousands of them destroyed mentally. Millions of Asians killed. We made it through Vietnam. The civil rights movement. Black community had to overcome the segregation and oppression that they were under before the civil rights movement. Inflation that's really been going on now for quite some time. And I say that for the middle class that has to overcome it every year, every single year. If you're in the bottom 95% of people, then you constantly are chasing, you know, your standard of living. Now we have 9/11. I'm doing these in chronological order. 9/11, the Great Recession, worst economic time since the Great Depression. We made it through. We had to overcome the Great Recession. We had to overcome a 20-year involvement in Afghanistan, constant wars in Iraq and Libya and Syria and Yemen. And now we're having to overcome COVID. And if you go through all of these things, the Great Depression, Kennedy assassination, Vietnam, civil rights, inflation, 9/11, the Great Recession, the endless wars, and then COVID. Every one of these things was caused by anyone, anyone? People. I mean, even down to COVID, because we do have to overcome. I mean, there have been natural pandemics out there. There are earthquakes. There are forest fires, there are tornadoes, there are floods, there are hurricanes. These are things, natural things in the earth that we do have to overcome. But all the things I've listed are really some of the great scars across the last 100 years of America. All these things we've had to overcome. Every single one of those things caused by the people in charge. Every single one of these things caused by people. These were not events out of thin air. The Great Depression, the Federal Reserve was created 17 years earlier than that. It was actions by the Federal Reserve, again, cheap money and then pulling back money. It was not a natural business cycle thing. They fueled a huge speculative Wall Street bubble that crashed in 1929, plunged the country into a huge depression. Was the Federal Reserve disbanded after this? No. Nope. They're still around. Still doing the same stuff. Kennedy assassination? Well, we all have our views on that. Vietnam, again, launched based on a false flag by the Johnson administration, perpetuated by the incoming Nixon administration, who actually scuttled peace talks so that Johnson and the Democrats couldn't take credit for ending Vietnam. So Nixon sends Kissinger over there to sabotage the talks so the war can keep going for another 7 years. Civil rights, the segregation, the oppression, all of that stuff was created by people in charge. Inflation, Nixon takes us off the gold standard in 1971, and it's off to the races with inflation. Peaks really heavily in the late 70s, early 80s, but it's been a persistent problem, eroding the standard of living of the middle class for the last 50 years. Then there's 9/11. I've said my piece on that. Created by men, even if you believe the official story, even if you believe that 19 guys came out of the cage, jumped in their Toyota, swung by the Home Depot, and grabbed 19 box cutters. They only did it in response to a horrific foreign policy that has been dropping bombs in the Middle East for, 30 years prior to that, 50 years prior to that. The Great Recession, created by banker excesses where they just raked in record profits, making risky bets, and then when the bets went sideways, the taxpayer bailed them out. All of the wars, and then even down to COVID. It's pretty obvious that this was a lab-created disease, and the response to it has been completely nonsensical and has destroyed the lives of millions of Americans. These are all the things we have to overcome. We have to overcome our own leadership. And can you name, in all of those things I just named, can you name a single person who was even fired because of their role in these things? Not to mention, has anybody been jailed for any of these things? These things that have been scars on the American psyche that we had to overcome. Not one single person fired or jailed for any of these things. A false flag, a false story led us into the war in Vietnam that cost 58,000 soldiers their lives, hundreds of thousands horribly wounded or mentally incapacitated. Anybody get fired? Anybody go to jail for that? No. Nope. They escape all consequence for every one of these events. And not only that, but people support these same types of people. I start the story out today with the show out today with a story about the Federal Reserve. They're still humming along. They are more powerful than they have ever been. Even though they're responsible for Great Depression, for the inflation, for the Great Recession, they're responsible for all these things, yet they remain in power, untouched. And with each one of these crises, they grow stronger. We are overcoming things created by our own so-called leadership. The people that we put in positions of power create the crises. And then you have the media and these same politicians come and pat us on our heads and tell us how great we did to overcome that. And it's so easy if you do not give power to these psychopaths in politics who create a system that empowers groups like banking, defense contractors, pharmaceutical companies. All we'd have to overcome are just the natural events. We're not much we can do about the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the floods, regardless of what these same control freaks now want to do, which is tell you that if you just give them enough money and enough power, they can stop the floods, they can stop the forest fires, they can stop the intense hurricanes, they can stop it all. It's all just climate change. Now, if our college football team, college football starting now, we all love to see that. If our college football team doesn't win enough games in a season, we will demand that that coach be replaced. If we have a losing, if the first four games of the season don't go well, people will get out of their seats to demand that you bench that quarterback and put somebody else in. Yet on the really, really big stuff, these national scars that we have had to overcome, we don't demand their replacement. We don't demand their firings. As a matter of fact, we give them more money and more power. I need to look at the new budget, but I've got a sneaking suspicion that the CDC is probably going to be more powerful and more wealthy coming through COVID, even though they have horribly mishandled the thing from the top to the bottom. Same for the National Institutes of Health, which funded the research that led to coronavirus in the first place. They will get more power and more wealth, more money, bigger budgets. But if our football team doesn't perform, we'll certainly take action on that. And the reason for that is because that's easy. Americans like easy. They like easy where there's no real skin in the game, that you don't have to really do a whole lot of effort. You just call into a sports talk show and you say, that coach has got to be fired. I'm so sick of watching us lose games. They got to get rid of him. They got to bench that quarterback. Oh, we'll get fired up about that stuff. But the same people who cause these crises, the biggest ones that we've seen in the last 100 years, we just allow them to move on. And you want to know why we have this oligarchy now? You want to know why you see this globalism? It's because of those things I just told you. Every single one of those events that I mentioned to you, they all benefited from them. There's a very, very clear line between who suffers and who benefits from every one of these crises. And if you will pay attention, historically or going forward, you will always notice that out of all of these things, a very small, slim sliver of our society benefits from these crises. I mean, they do better than ever. I remember, what's his name, Michael Chertoff. He was our first Homeland Security Secretary. Created this brand new bureaucracy. Turned out he was running a company. Didn't they sell like body scanners and x-ray equipment? And I mean, all kinds of things you could roll out in a new national security state. Isn't that weird? That's weird how that works, right? Where's Michael Chertoff now? Is he rotting in a prison cell for the corruption? I think he's a commentator somewhere. He pops up on news. I'm sure he was somewhere on the 9/11 remembrances shows. But you watch these crises, and yet there are always identifiable people who are behind these crises, whether it's the Federal Reserve, whether it is the J.P. Morgans, Merrill Lynch's, Goldman Sachs of the world, whether it's the arms manufacturer, whether it's the pharmaceutical companies. These people are well out in the open benefiting from these things. And yet the American people always have to overcome them. It always seems to be damaging to us and beneficial to them. Again, that clip that I, or the quote that I did earlier, it was from centuries ago. I don't believe my words will change anything here, but it is something worth paying attention to. I'm sure we will continue to repeat this trend for centuries going forward. I just don't participate in it. And I can't for the life of me figure out why anybody out there supports a political class or a system like this. They're the cause of all of our problems. Okay, I'll be right back. All right, people cause these crises that we have to overcome. And there's a lot of people out there listening to me. I say, why do we continue to support this system? A lot of people say, well, I don't. I don't support these people. I mean, probably every single person that listens to me, if you're a regular listener of this show, you certainly are saying, well, I don't support this stuff. Here's how you kind of do, in my opinion. When you play the political theater game, if you are out there right now blaming exclusively Joe Biden for the inflation, you are covering for the Federal Reserve. If you let Donald Trump off the hook for printing trillions of dollars during his administration and calling for zero interest rates or negative rates, you let him off the hook because you don't want to insult Donald Trump, and you just blame Joe Biden. These people who benefit from all of these crises, who are benefiting from the inflation right now, they love it when you do that because then they go, oh, look at that. They think it's Biden. They're not even talking about us. Same thing with Jimmy Carter. Oh, Jimmy Carter took it on the chin for all of the inflation during his time. He's a one-term president. What a hack. Nobody was talking about the fact Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971 and the printing presses opened up. Any decent economist could have told you the moment that Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard and removed any constraints of sound money from Congress or from the banking system, that you were going to have inflation, but everybody plays the game. It was Carter. Carter brought out all that inflation. Now, I'm no Jimmy Carter fan, and I'm certainly no Joe Biden fan. But you continue to let off the hook the real perpetrators of these things in favor of this political theater of it's all the Democrats' fault, or it's all Nancy Pelosi's fault, or Maxine. They are all horrible. I'm not carrying water for any of these goons over on the left. But there are goons on the right, too. But behind them, the people who escape any judgment, there are no firings, there are no jailings, there are no nothing. I mean, Democrats blame George Bush for the Great Recession because it happened on his watch. And again, they didn't talk about the Federal Reserve. You know, they don't. The perpetrators of these things hide behind the curtains of the political theater. And as long as you are just carrying water for the political theater, Joe Biden's inflation, don't pay attention to all of the debt and the money printing that Donald Trump did, particularly in 2020. What, we printed something like 25% of all money ever printed was done during Trump's last year in office? No, but don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the first 2.5 months of Joe Biden's administration when prices started going up, and blame it all on him. This is how you do participate. This is how you do tacitly support these people, by letting them off the hook. And when you continue to vote, I know there are people out there right now, so, you know, mourning 9/11 and ready to vote for Mike Pompeo or Tom Cotton, which just assures you more of the same. You may not think you're supporting these people, but an awful lot of you are. You don't mean to, good-hearted, but be careful.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best of the best.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. 9/11 was a continuation of, you know, the Kennedy assassination, in my opinion. It's this national security state stuff. It was, I think 1963 was a coup. 2001, 9/11, another coup, another hijacking of the United States by a group of people. COVID is another coup. And a lot of people see that in the election from 2020. That certainly is a part of it. But this whole, you know, they're rolling out now the biomedical state. It was the national security state, the warfare state. Now we've got the disease state. I mean, it's just these things keep happening, these big events where we just cede more and more power. And I say all of these things are man-made. They're created by the powerful people in this country, and they get away scot-free every single time. Anthony Fauci still, I mean, I tell people to pull out their paychecks and look at their federal withholding all the time. To think that Anthony Fauci is still the highest paid employee of the taxpayer. The highest. I mean, that's out of, what, tens of millions of government employees. Anthony Fauci makes the most, not to mention his side gigs with his patents and other interests he's got within the industries that he is able to benefit from his perch. But COVID is a lot like 9/11. And the reason I bring that up is because what I think is so important about COVID going forward, why I talk about it so much, is that it's not going to end. If you go to an airport today, your wife, your child, your grandmother, they still may get molested by the TSA. 20 years after 9/11, they tell us it's been, 10 years since we got bin Laden? I think that story stinks to high heaven, too. But with all of these things, the war in Afghanistan's wrapped up, bin Laden's gone. But yet they still feel the need to continue to harass us. You can't take a bottle of water on the airplane. They're going to go through your bags. They may pull you aside for enhanced screening. They may feel up your wife. See, these things don't go away. And this is what I would say to even the COVID hysterics out there, the ones that think this is just the biggest threat ever. And I've got some pretty funny stories to tell you about that in just a second, because it's kind of like the difference between the headline and the story. Most people don't read stories. Most people just read headlines, or they get the 30-second snippet from the mainstream news, and they don't investigate any further. But the COVID stuff is not going away. Even if I'm already terrified about this fall peak we're going to see again. What will they roll out? If you think the vaccine pressure is high right now, just wait. But they're not going to let up on this. You want to hear a story that should end the vaccine debate for our children? I'm talking about end it in its tracks, but it won't. This is the bizarre world we live in. I mean, this one story alone should settle all ideas of vaccinating children, particularly young boys. But it won't even be a speed bump in the push to vaccinate our kids. Research conducted from the University of California has found that teenage boys are 6 times more likely to suffer from heart problems caused by the COVID-19 vaccine than to be hospitalized as a result of COVID itself. When you get your son, your school-age boy, to roll up his sleeves, his chances to develop heart problems are 6 times higher just from that jab, from that one moment that you allow this medical mafia to inject this stuff into your kid. His chances are 6 times higher of having a heart problem. And the heart problems go on for forever. You don't repair heart muscle. They tell you it's temporary. They feel better soon. When you've damaged the heart, you've damaged the heart. At a very young age. And we're talking about taking this thing down to 2-year-olds. That should stop it. A team led by Dr. Tracy Hoag at the University of California investigated the rate of cardiac myocarditis, heart inflammation, and chest pain in children aged 12 to 17 following their second dose of the vaccine. They then compared this with the likelihood of children needing hospital treatment owing to COVID-19. Researchers found that the risk of heart complications for boys aged 12 to 15 following the vaccine was 162.2 per million, which was the highest out of all the groups they looked at. This compares to the risk of a healthy boy being hospitalized as a result of a COVID-19 infection, which is around 26.7 per million, meaning the risk they face from the vaccine is 6.1 times higher. You think that's going to stop Thomas Dobbs from wanting to jab every single school kid, school-age boy in this state? No, it will not. Anthony Fauci came out and said this, too. You may have already heard this clip. This certainly has been making the rounds. He was asked about natural immunity. Sanjay Gupta, as much of a stooge as he is on CNN, he actually asks a legitimate question, and Anthony Fauci gives a complete non-answer.
And just real quickly, there was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity, and basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not, as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine. So
now, we already know the durability of the vaccine is a matter of months. If it wasn't, they wouldn't be giving you these boosters. Israel now is saying they're up to 4 or 5. Well, actually, one of the Israeli health ministers came out and said, this is our life from now on. From now on. I'm telling you, this is not going to end. It will be like the response to 9/11. They have a new normal in store for us. And Anthony Fauci knows damn good and well, because I know myself, that people who were exposed to SARS back in 2003 and recovered still have the antibodies. He knows that they've done studies on people exposed to the 1918 Spanish flu still had antibodies. Just a few years ago when they did the study, it might have been early 2000s. 80 years later, they still had naturally occurring antibodies to the Spanish flu from 1918. Anthony Fauci knows that. Thomas Dobbs knows that. Does that stop them from taking people? They have never once said, if you've recovered from COVID, we'll give you a card, you're good to go, no need for the vaccine. They have completely ignored natural immunity, but they all know these things.
So it is conceivable that you got infected, you're protected, but you may not be protected for an indefinite period of time. So I think that is some.
You may not. We think, we believe, these are all the words that are supposedly science. We're just not sure. You might be, you might not be. This vaccine could, or it might, or we hope, or we believe, or we think. None of these are scientific words.
Something that we need to sit down and discuss seriously, because you very appropriately pointed out it is an issue. And there could be an argument for saying what you said.
Okay, so Anthony Fauci is saying, hey, you know, this is something we need to sit down and talk about. Natural immunity may be something we don't need to worry, you know, we don't need to worry about those people with vaccinations. That's an interesting conclusion to come to after you've already vaccinated, what, 200 million Americans? How many of those people had antibodies already? That's very interesting, isn't it? And he's not getting around to it anytime soon. He said, well, we'll probably take a look at it. It's something we might have to have a conversation about. But as of today, they will tell people who have recovered and have natural immunity, go out and get a shot. Today. When I come back, I'm going to get into some of these stories. Well, I've got a couple of different things, but I did want to talk about this conversation I had with a friend on group text. It's kind of funny. It was a story about, and I'll tell you, he's got a super nice guy, smart guy. But he's got a son that needs surgery, and they're putting him off because the hospitals are full. So we kind of got into a little conversation. I'm not going to rattle the guy's cage. I'd love to have a conversation with him. He may or may not be open to it. I'm so good at having a conversation with somebody without any anger whatsoever. And if they say, if we leave still in complete disagreement and I don't convince them of anything, I'll tell them a joke and buy them a beer and we'll talk about the good old days. I don't care. But very few people are like that, so I kind of have to tiptoe through my debates. I decided yesterday to not engage, but it was very funny. He told me that, you know, we were debating the vaccine. Well, I'll tell the story when I come back, because it was kind of an interesting exchange. But I did some research on his idea that they're bringing in these mobile morgues. People are dropping like flies, and it's all because of you nasty unvaccinated. The stories don't really bear that out. I'll show you that in just a second. Stay with me.
Werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee.
I am somebody afflicted with this idea that logic and facts can get through to anybody if you present them in the right way. It is what's led to this radio show, where I say things that are not generally said on conservative talk radio, and I just assume if I back them up with enough facts, people will understand. You may not agree with me, but at least you'll say, well, there is something to that. I don't know if that's effective or not at this point. I really don't. And so when you get into conversations with people about COVID or about vaccinations, you know, it's like everything else, politics or any of these things, facts just don't seem to matter anymore. And so you almost have to be careful who you even engage. It's almost like, is this somebody who's open-minded enough to look at what the reality is around this situation? I'm not good at emotional debates. Because emotions, you can't really pin them down. And if you don't share the same emotion, there is no chance of getting to a similar conclusion. But if somebody wants to debate facts with me, if somebody wants to talk about the vaccine, I'm just going to ask them, why is Israel, if the vaccine works, why is Israel the world's hotspot right now as one of the most vaccinated countries on planet Earth with the mRNA vaccine? And then I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to let them try to answer it. And what most people are going to do is they're going to say, well, I don't know about Israel, but here. And then I will ask them, well, why would our experience be that different? Now, there is no good answer. I've not yet. I've talked to doctors. I've talked to a lot of people, and no one has an answer for that. It's kind of an odd question, isn't it? But it's very difficult to even decide with people these days, are they too emotional that I'm just going to anger them by bringing up some facts? So a friend of mine has got a son who needs a medical procedure done. And he's in Tennessee, and the Tennessee hospitals are not accepting some of these things. So he is furious at the unvaccinated. He believes the unvaccinated are trying to kill us all. They're overwhelming the hospitals. It's all their fault. Everybody needs to get the shot. We got started on this because somebody sent out, they sent out a story in Politico about Supreme Court ruling that said you could mandate a vaccine. And this was around the smallpox vaccine. Now, the only thing I asked on the thread, I said, if you got the smallpox vaccine, and I honestly didn't know this, so I wanted to see, there were two doctors also on this thread. I said, if you got the smallpox vaccine, could you still contract smallpox and could you still spread it? Because the Supreme Court ruling in the smallpox vaccine case was about community good. It was about you have to get the vaccine because you are a risk to other people if you do not. And if the coronavirus vaccine, you can still contract it and you can still spread it, then getting the vaccine does no community good. So that precedent didn't seem to stand. Well, my friend, who understandably is emotionally charged about this issue because he wants his son to have access to a hospital, I would like to talk to him about things like certificate of need, where the hospital groups themselves have kept other hospitals out. So the reason, you know, when these hospitals come out wringing their hands about shortages of beds and not enough room and no ICU beds and all this stuff, if people ever understood the fact that, number one, hospitals themselves are the reason that there aren't more hospitals. They keep competitors out of the market to fatten their bottom lines through certificate of need laws all over this country, here in Mississippi especially. So there's that. And then they've been mandating vaccines, so they're short on nurses. They probably had some doctors leave, too. So these hospitals are responsible for the exact thing they are screaming about, but they blame the unvaccinated. I'm going to read you something real quick before I get into this stuff about the mobile morgues, because I thought this was interesting, too. We talk about a pandemic of the unvaccinated now, and I tell you that in Israel, 85 to 90% of the people being hospitalized are fully vaccinated. In Australia, a few weeks ago, it was 141 people, 140 of them were vaccinated, so I don't know. But these things, for some reason, I don't understand the mechanism of this, it increases. You see a few vaccinated people getting sick, and then you see more and more and more. It escalates. In Israel, most people that were being hospitalized were unvaccinated. Then the vaccinated slowly started creeping up and then overtook the unvaccinated by huge amounts. It's happening in Great Britain. Listen to this. The UK has a very good transparent reporting system other countries could learn from. The data health briefs out of the UK have an elephant in the room and mum's the word. They have been in a fight with the Delta since May, April of 2021. Their data shows that at the start, in April, far more unvaccinated were entering hospitals than vaccinated. Deaths as well were on the at the start of April and May were more as well in the unvaccinated. As the case numbers went up, so did the hospitalizations. Then data, then a data brief from June 16th, I believe, showed for the first time that about 37 people were vaccinated, people seeking treatment. This paragraph is written strangely. It was a recounting from somebody in Great Britain. 37 were vaccinated and 34 were unvaccinated in this particular group of people hospitalized. So more than 50%. Then in a few weeks, This was June 27th. They compared the vaccinated versus unvaccinated numbers. It was 158 vaccinated in the hospital versus 92 unvaccinated. As the health briefs kept coming, so did the rising numbers of vaccinated dying. By July, going into August, cases were rising 100,000 every 2 weeks. The amount of deaths for the vaccinated jumped up 2.5 times, while the deaths of the unvaccinated only jumped 1.3 times. So there's some weird mechanism, and it may be that these vaccines actually delay the onset of symptoms and getting sick, but you're still accumulating viral load. This may go back to this study they did where they found healthcare workers who had been vaccinated had 251 times the viral load in their nose that unvaccinated did. So I don't know what the mechanism is, but this is what we may see here as the number of vaccinated just creeps up and up and up over at Great Britain. It took about 3 months for this number, for the tables to completely flip and the most people. So I say that all long-windedly to say we need to hang in there. Doctors and nurses may wake up to bust apart this pandemic of the unvaccinated soon, because if we follow the same trends that Israel, Australia, Germany, Great Britain have already followed, then we're going to see more vaccinated people having poor outcomes than unvaccinated, and it will bust apart this idea of pandemic of the unvaccinated. So my friend he's up in arms, really thinks there should be a vaccine mandate because it's all the dirty, unwashed, unvaccinated people that are causing all the problems, and it's why his son can't get his surgery. So he pointed to, he said, you know, when I challenged the fact that Supreme Court mandate, or the Supreme Court judgment that said mandates were constitutional, I said it shouldn't, that shouldn't translate to now, because this vaccine does not protect the community good, because you can still get COVID and you can still spread it. So that point seems to be moot. Well, he said, well, I don't know about that, but they're backing up mobile morgues to our hospitals here because so many people are dying. So being the annoying human being I am, with critical thinking skills and a desire to know the truth, I did a little bit of research. And so I looked. He's in Tennessee. I'll read this. The headline: mobile morgue coming to Blount Memorial Hospital. Blount County, the subheadline says, Blount County has seen 216 deaths due to COVID-19 as of Tuesday. That's for the entire pandemic, according to data from the city of Maryville. Now, the part of the story that, and this is the tamest one here, Blount Memorial Hospital will be receiving a mobile morgue amid the recent spike in COVID-19 cases East Tennessee has seen, according to hospital officials. Officials did not confirm that the mobile morgue is due to an increase of COVID-19 cases. So they just got it there just in case. Now, they may be experiencing some of these other things. So I ran into other headlines when I did this research. Here's another one. This is a Cape Coral, Florida. External morgue in use at Cape Coral Hospital to make room for more bodies. Oh, my gosh. What is happening? They've got to make more. The bodies are just stacking up. Here's the story, actually. Again, people read the headlines, and that is the headline. External morgue in use at Cape Coral Hospital to make room for more bodies. That's the headline. Here's the story. Cape Coral Hospital is working to make room for bodies in its morgue. The hospital had 6 deaths on Wednesday, but the hospital's morgue can only hold 4 bodies. To keep up with the recent deaths, a refrigerated external morgue was placed outside the hospital to store the deceased. It's unclear if any patients had died from COVID-19. That's the story. Okay, again, can I do this again? And you can feel free to email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you this story because I almost think this is a kind of fun one to share. The headline is "External Morgue in Use at Cape Coral Hospital to Make Room for More Bodies." And this is the kind of headline that prompted my friend to send me these headlines. And then you read the story. The hospital had 6 deaths on Wednesday, but the hospital's morgue can only hold 4 bodies. To help keep up with recent deaths, a refrigerated external morgue was placed outside the hospital to store the deceased. It's unclear if any patients had died from COVID-19. But that headline is read like, oh my gosh, COVID is so bad, they're having to stack bodies in these. Here was a really fun one. This was Alamance County. Pretty sure this is in Tennessee. Alamance County. A medical center has brought in extra space for their morgue after a COVID-19 outbreak at a funeral home. Let's see what the headline. Yeah, the headline, morgue trailer set up at Alamance County Hospital after outbreak. The outbreak was not at the hospital. It's not from people dying at the hospital from COVID. It's because a funeral home got some positive cases, you know, got some of these bad PCR tests. Some of their employees tested positive, so I'm sure the funeral home has had to quarantine and do their little thing where they shut down the funeral home so they can't accept anybody's. According to representatives, again, this is of the hospital here in Alamance County. This is North Carolina. I'm sorry, it's not Tennessee. Alamance County, North Carolina. A medical center has brought in extra space for their morgue after a COVID-19 outbreak at the funeral home, not because of deaths at the hospital. According to representatives, this is not due to an excessive amount of COVID-19 deaths, but rather an outbreak. A funeral home in the area is dealing with a COVID-19 outbreak, which impacts the timely pickup of bodies from the morgue. In anticipation of these delays, the hospital brought in extra storage space just in case. And so, see, these are the stories in the headlines that drive people into this hysteria that everybody's got to get vaccinated. They're pulling up trailers, for the love of God. Why are you so selfish? They're bringing in cold storage morgues. None of them because of this massive death from COVID-19. The hospitals are inflicting their own wounds and then blaming the unvaccinated for it. They're firing nurses, which means they're closing down some beds. They keep other hospitals out of these cities because they want to keep all the profits for themselves. They don't want to compete against other hospitals. Then they come out and tell you that they don't have any room. And instead of looking at the hospital and going, then why don't you let them build some more damn hospitals? Instead of doing that, people look at the unvaccinated, right where Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs, and I'm sure the health director in Tennessee too, where they want to point you. It's their fault. Don't look at the fact that we haven't allowed hospitals to be built. Don't look at the fact that we've been firing nurses and staff, and so we're completely overwhelmed because we don't have enough people. Don't look at those things. Look at the unvaccinated. And the unvaccinated have done nothing. Nothing. Some of them might get sick. But a whole lot of people get sick with all kinds of things. These hospitals, should we blame the diabetics out there? They're taking up beds too. Should we blame the heart patients, the cancer patients? They're taking up beds. Beds that could be used for COVID. Why is it only just regular people walking around perfectly healthy that just didn't get the shot that are the villains in this thing? That is pure mind manipulation. Anyway, if anybody gives you one of these stories, they're bringing the mobile morgues in. Do a quick internet search. Those three stories that I just gave you right there, it didn't take me 4 minutes to find all of those. And I thought so bad about taking those and putting them into the group text, but I just knew I'd be ostracized. And these are good friends of mine. I love them all. I just didn't feel like wading in. But it's nice to have these in my holster. Should they continue to ratchet up the rhetoric on their end, I'll bring out the big guns. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I do not get mad at normies. Well, I won't say I never do, but it's very rare that I get mad at somebody who's really hep on the vaccine or it disagrees with me if they're just a regular person, because I view them as victims. They are victims of a fear campaign. And I've got a clip to show you exactly what I'm talking about. This clip is making the rounds. I'm lucky I've got an early show in the day, so I don't have to play it after 10 other people have played it. I was hoping that, I got to admit, I do like it when I find little nuggets that most people aren't talking about. Occasionally I'll play a popular clip, but you know, my friend, he's got a legit reason to be upset at the unvaccinated because he's told they're the problem. And if my children were waiting for some kind of a surgery that they need and somebody pointed to the culprits to this and I believed them, I'd be upset too. So I don't get mad at them, but boy, do I get mad at these authorities because they are being so dishonest. And it's just that. It's dishonest. I stand on my record of 4.5 years of pointing out the medical mafia to everybody long before we even brought up COVID. I warned you about these people. This is these people having a Zoom call at one of the hospitals here. See if it says where it was. And they talk about wanting to scare everybody to death about this thing. What you're going to hear first, the first woman's voice, she's the marketing person for the hospital. Yeah, that's right. Hospitals have marketing and sales people because the hospitals, for the vast majority of them, are about money. That's what they're in the business for. And it's been a good business. More people are sick than ever. I mean, I got to tell you, I wish I'd had the foresight to 40, 50 years ago have seen the tragic trajectory of Americans' health and gotten into some health investments because God knows they're raking it in. So the first woman you're going to hear is the marketing person. This is how it's been explained to me. The marketing person for the hospital talking about, you know, what they're going to put out to the public. Then the second voice you're going to hear is from what I understand to be one of their senior doctors.
On the dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths. And the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out. As far as we don't get into details of floor or
right.
Those other numbers are certainly out there.
Right.
Now here comes, this is a doctor. This is a doctor that's about to explain how she wants to manipulate the statistics they put out there to make them appear a certain way. They won't be accurate. They won't be right. But they'll give the desired effect that this doctor wants.
I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public.
They want to scare you. Got to be more scary. How can we manipulate these statistics? This is what they've been doing for 16 months. How do we make this look really a lot more dangerous than it really is? How do we really scare the people?
Then there's another comment, as I completely agree. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Well, or that are still in it, and that's something that I can take to someone else, but I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
For a variety of reasons. Things like heart disease, cancers, probably car accidents. Because anybody that goes into a hospital is tested for COVID, right? And if they test positive for COVID, it doesn't matter what you go in for. Broken leg, hernia. Doesn't matter what you go in for, you're tested for COVID. And if you test positive, you go to the COVID wing. And then when you recover from COVID and then you go to another room to recover from your heart surgery, from your heart attack, or your leg is setting after you've had a broken, whatever it is, whatever sent you to the hospital in the first place that was going to have you in a long stay. If you tested positive going in and then the COVID resolves itself and you test negative, but you go into the other part of the hospital where you really belonged in the first place for your heart issue or whatever other medical issue, she wants to make sure that those are still counted as COVID cases. For a lot of those people, COVID was not even the reason they were visiting the hospital. It was the fact that they got a positive test when they went in is the only reason they were in the COVID ward.
Okay.
Carolyn, we call those, I'm sorry, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Novant Health dashboard, they're listed as recovered. But I do think it, from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing.
Yep. So I think that that needs to be highlighted as well.
Yeah.
Because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers. That's exactly right.
Kellen, we can talk offline and how we bring that up to marketing. And
all right. So I'm just going to say, Kellen, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Yeah. So that's a doctor. She's older, too. She's not straight out of medical school that maybe just doesn't really understand medicine yet. No, she's one of the senior doctors. This was in North Carolina. She said, we just need to be really blunt and just come out and tell you, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to die. That's a medical doctor telling you that. Same medical doctor that's been advising you your whole life and telling you, you just need that statin. You just need that antidepressant. These are the same people. We just need to tell people, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to die. I don't know what I'm looking at right now, and I don't know what other medical professionals, good medical professionals, nurses and doctors, I don't know how they don't drum these people out of these hospitals, how they have not taken the fear mongers and thrown them away. I think it's because the fear mongers, the hystericals in the medical community outnumber the good doctors. I've talked to some of the good doctors. They don't understand what's going on in their own field. They can't have conversations with their own coworkers. These are, you know, some very accomplished people are looking around and they're seeing this mass insanity in these hospitals. But if you think that this woman is some outlier, oh, well, that's just some little hospital in North Carolina talking to her marketing person, trying to scare the people up in that. If you think that's an isolated incident, I got to tell you, I totally disagree. This has all been about fear. It's not been about science. It's not been about real data. It's been about fear. All right, final segment for today. I want to say one thing about that hospital clip I just played and that woman saying people who have recovered that have been moved to other parts of the hospital should be counted in the COVID numbers. What I said is definitely happening. People who go in for, you know, a heart attack, test positive for COVID, they put in the COVID wing. Then when they go to continue to recover from their heart attack, she wants them listed still as a COVID case, even if they really had no symptoms of COVID. They just tested positive on a PCR test. But there probably are some people who are recovering from it that were legit COVID cases. So there is some of that. I'm not denying a lot of the things that I think I want to deny. I believe that they're happening. But the thing is that we're never going to get honest numbers. We're never going to get them. And it just, I don't care if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, if you're scared of COVID, if you're not scared of COVID, the fact that you know that you can have no faith in any accurate reporting from the media or from our medical mafia should say that you don't want them making rules for you. You make up your own decisions. You make up your own mind about your stuff. Last week, Joe Biden, his just disgusting press conference where he mandated the vaccine for all federal workers. Look, what do they say? A government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take it all away. That's what we're seeing right now. I mean, we're living through those times. There is one guy, I'll probably have the clip for tomorrow, who said that he believes that you should have to take the vaccine to cash a Social Security check. How about that? To cash a welfare check. How about that? If you want to have any interaction with this government whatsoever, they should be able to demand that you get the jab. How about that? I did the story last week, you know, talking about these mandates for everybody, and the news started kind of trickling out. When was that press conference? I think it was on Thursday. Originally, it was reported that I believe it's still accurate, the Post Office, the Postal Service, I think it's 600,000 employees in the Postal Service, were exempt from the executive order. This raised a lot of red flags because they've got a big giant union. It turns out that they are exempted from Joe Biden's executive order, but somehow they're tucked under OSHA rules. So postal workers, looks like you are going to be forced to get the jab. The people who do appear to remain exempt from this should surprise nobody. And that's Congress and their staffs. It's very interesting. I'm not quite sure of this designation of a federal employee. If congressional staffs are paid by taxpayer dollars, why are they not in this? I don't want them to be, actually. Even somebody I don't like, even Nancy Pelosi's staff. This is how consistent I am. I would not want to mandate a vaccine, force somebody to be injected with something they don't want, even if I disagree with them politically, because I'm consistent like that. But apparently Congress and their staff and the judiciary, your federal judges, they rise above us again and are not subjected to these mandates. These mandates are really going to, they're going to end up being for the little people. And I'll say something here too. I've been very curious about the NFL teams. The shot has a widely recognized issue about blood clotting. Now, they've tried to lay this at 6 cases of Johnson & Johnson. At the same time, there had already been something like 150 cases of Moderna and 180 cases of Pfizer. But they, for some reason, these are kinds of things I don't quite understand. Who the players, does Johnson & Johnson just not have as good lobbyist as Pfizer has? Is that really what it comes down to? Johnson & Johnson needs to start sloshing some more money around the mainstream media. They're not buying enough ads. We know that Pfizer owns the media because they buy so many ads. But there's quite obviously, you can look at VAERS or you can listen to those stories. There is an issue with blood clotting. And if the experts are right, the Dr. Malones of the world, the Peter McCulloughs, the cardiac, I think he's a cardiologist, and they're concerned about clotting and blood vessel damage done by this injection of a spike protein. And I've been watching because I remember the Atlanta Falcons were the first team to announce they were 100% vaccinated. I was watching a game yesterday and I've been thinking, they're going to be something to really watch. Because if these things cause problems to the circulatory system, some of these athletes are going to start dropping. And then I started thinking yesterday how naive I must be. Do I really believe that the NFL owners, having seen the headlines of some clotting disorders coming from these vaccines, and they probably know it's much worse than the media told you or the CDC told you. It is in the thousands and thousands of people who have had clotting and bleeding disorders. I saw a picture of a girl the other day that just had blood vessels in her mouth, on her face, and under her arm explode. She was in the hospital trying to get treated for these giant red blotches on her after the vaccine. Would these NFL owners really take their billion-dollar franchises and allow their players to be inoculated with a vaccine with that potential side effect? Or is it possible that all of these NFL players and probably many people in high places just got saline so that they can lead by example with getting the vaccine with none of the risk of the side effects? Because the last thing they want is an all-star quarterback or running back to drop dead on the field having been vaccinated. I might have been naive about the idea that we could look to the NFL and see, because I'm really hoping there are not long-term clotting issues. It does scare me because it seems like these experts have been right about a whole lot of stuff. The ones that disagree with this mass vaccination, they've been right a lot. I hope they're wrong about that, but I don't think they are. But I kind of doubt the NFL is honest about that. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.